It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. We have some great podcasts and op-eds that we'll be rolling out with that. And then go over to Facebook and give us a like. We greatly appreciate that as well. It is Wednesday. It is hump day. So did the camel take the day off, producer Steve?
He did. Yesterday's kind of moping around, and I said, you need to take some time off. You're obviously, maybe current events have him flustered too.
Well, everybody needs a little break here or there. So we'll see if the camel's back with us next week. We've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to go through some headlines here in this first segment. Matt Durkin, who is a candidate for Jefferson County District Attorney, will join us in the second segment. My friends, these are really, really important races. Apparently, there's a primary over on the Democrat side, and it seems like those two candidates are trying to see who can be the most, quote-unquote, progressive. And we know what that means. When people are progressive, they like to put people in different groups. They like to pick winners and losers. They like to pick which laws that they, will enforce. I guess they don't really enforce them. They would be the ones that would be doing the judiciary side. And so we're seeing this whole progressive thing is it's regressing back to the old days, where instead of people sitting down and deliberating ideas, that they take to the streets and destroy stuff. And so you can see that progressive is really regressive, producer Steve.
Well, you know, I shouldn't say this. I really, when I say I shouldn't say this,
you're going to say it.
Yeah. Watching these two go at it in Jeffco, it's kind of entertaining.
Yeah, get the popcorn, I guess. So it will be interesting. We're in primary time right now. You all have received your ballots. If you are registered as a Republican, you received a Republican primary ballot. If you are registered as a Democrat, you received a Democrat ballot. And if you are registered as an independent, you received both. You can only vote one ballot. And I think those are due at the end of the month, Steve. In our third and fourth segment, we will have Robert Bryce with us. He is an acclaimed author of 6 books, and then he recently just released a movie. It's about juice. It's about electricity, and it's going to be a fascinating conversation with Robert Bryce in the third and fourth segment. My friends, what I see with the progressive regressive is it's all about emotion now. It's how I feel instead of actually looking at things from a rational standpoint. It's how I feel or how this makes me feel. And I tell you what, when you start to live a life just on total emotions, it's a life. It's actually, I think it's a pretty shallow life, Steve.
When we were in media school, I was in media school, we had to give a talk on whatever subject we wanted. And my subject was understanding the difference between objective and subjective. The whole entire culture has kind of bailed out on objective and moved over to subjective, which is governed by feelings and opinions.
And, you know, certainly feelings, there's two things. Feelings, you know, you can have strong emotions about something because you care immensely about something. Or, I am hearing people say, well, I realize that, you know, actually a plastic bag ban doesn't make a lot of sense because, I mean, think about it. We've had the progressives have said you can't, you're either going to have to pay a tax or you can't even have a plastic bags to take your groceries home from the grocery store. This was all pre-COVID. And I would see people bringing in and kind of virtue signaling their reusable trash or their reusable bags, filthy. Just think about that. Bringing them back into the grocery store. And the progressive regressives had no problem with that. But man, then when COVID comes down, you know, there's all the rules about you have to wear a mask, you know, all of this. And so you just look at some of the things that they're doing and it just doesn't make sense. And many people reuse their plastic bags. And so, you know, we need to be more objective and look at the long-term consequences from decisions that are being made. And how do you do that? With Rudyard Kipling's guidance. You know, he wrote The Jungle Book. He says, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." So one of the questions that we need to take a look at, and I think the word is getting out, but the Black Lives Matter official movement, and so their website, if you go to that and you click donate, that where it takes you that you're donating to is Act Blue, which is the big Democrat fundraising arm. So you can see that the Democrat Party is behind fomenting this division in our country. And that we have two competing ideologies going on right now, Producer Steve. And that ideology is one of either destruction, and that is bringing everybody down to a mutual misery, which is what happens under socialism. And then you have the haves and the have-nots. And we've seen that play out because these bureaucrats and politicians that have used COVID-19 to shut down our economy, I've not seen one of them say, "I will forego my salary. I will forego my pension because I know that everyday Americans are hurting." So what we've seen is then it becomes the haves and the have-nots. So what they say that they're against is actually the policies they're pushing forward, Producer Steve.
Well, to that point that you just made, woe to any politician on either side of the aisle who says or has said, "We're all in this together." Baloney.
Yeah, baloney is right. And the other thing on socialism, you saw this early in the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, is empty store shelves. That's not something that Americans have been used to. And that is prevalent throughout socialist countries as well. So ultimately, it comes down to freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We are Americans. We are coming into celebrating Independence Day. And it is astonishing to me that this Independence Day, that many of our Independence Day celebrations are being canceled. Or you can't go to church, but you can go down and protest and tear stuff up. What's wrong with that picture, Steve?
You have a way of painting a word picture. It's like the theater of the mind that radio is. You're doing a great job. I don't know. In our local paper, we live in the same neck of the woods, and they were so quick to proclaim that the 4th of July celebration has been canceled. And I don't know, maybe I'm too much of a curmudgeon. I don't know. It's like, did we really need to do that, or is somebody still out there pushing to suppress a celebration of our heritage? That could be a reach, and I'll put it out there. Maybe it is a reach, but I got to wonder.
I'm hoping that there will be some municipalities or some different places that actually step forward and do have a celebration of our country. So
in that same light, we have been quoted this guy maybe a lot more often than we should have. And I just did a quick search on it. I'm not sure if Rahm Emanuel originally uttered the phrase, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. Obviously, he's the one who said it most recently. And I'm darned if it's not coming about. And everywhere you look, even in places like Major League Baseball or the NFL, they're all out there grabbing hold of an opportunity to, you know, to do something and take advantage of the situation. None of it's good.
And none of it is good. Where am I going to go? Okay. First thing, I always want to say thank you. Thank you to our team, to Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for all your hard work. To you listeners, we are in a defining time in our country. And so take care of yourself. You're each, you're treasured, you're valued, you're an individual. You are part of a group. That group is called the human race. And so today, strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And our quote for today is from Thomas Edison. I thought since we were having Robert Bryce on, talking about electricity, Thomas Alva Edison was an American inventor and businessman who has been described as America's greatest inventor. He developed many devices in fields such as electric power generation, mass communication, sound recording, and motion pictures. These inventions include the phonograph. Now, for those youngsters out there, they don't really know what a phonograph is, but the phonograph, the motion picture camera, and the long-lasting practical electric light bulb. He was born in 1847. He died in 1931. And I, you know, this is a great quote because we're talking about all of this giving away, universal-based income. I mean, somebody has to make the money at some point in time if you're going to give it away. Or you borrow it from other countries, or you borrow it from our future. We put that debt on the backs of our kids. None of that is good. And what it comes down to is, I think this is a great quote. Thomas Edison said, "Opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work." What do you think of that one, Steve?
I love that one. I've seen it many times. Actually, I guess in third grade, I did one of my first papers was on Edison. That you know, as good as he was at the invention side of the house.
Did you meet him? Had you met him?
All right. Cease and desist over there. As great an inventor as he was not so great in the being a businessman. And anybody wants to do a quick read, just look at the battles between Edison and Westinghouse back in the, back at the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the issue was AC versus DC, and Edison really dug his heels in, and much to his, it hurt him. So, interesting read.
Interesting read. Oh, I didn't know that. So, yeah, we're hoping that when we do these things, it does, pique a little bit of curiosity about finding more out. I did want to go through one quick headline that Patty had found from the Center Square. And it says that Colorado ranks 36th highest in the study identifying the safest states in the United States. So it says it's a new study by Wallet Hub. And Colorado earned a total score of 44.45 in the study by the Personal Finances website with a maximum score of 100. And examples of the safety risks in the analysis included health concerns about the coronavirus pandemic and fears about natural disasters, terrorism, and road safety. In the personal and residential safety category, the state received a rank of 39th, and in the financial safety grouping, the state earned the rank of 5th. On the issue of traffic safety, the state ranked 40th. So, I wouldn't say that we ranked 36th highest. I'd actually say that we were probably 36th lowest. And so many times we used to have great marks about the state of Colorado. But Steve, I really think that we are going to start to see a resurgence of rural America. I think that with what is happening in these cities, I think that people will be moving out of many of these blue states and moving to rural America. And I hope that people realize as they go to the voting booth just what has happened when we look at these blue states with these blue governors and these blue mayors, that what has actually happened in these communities, and do not vote that way. And so let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Matt Durkin, who is a candidate for district attorney in Jefferson County. These races, my friends, are so important. But before we do that, I just wanted to give a shout out to Hooters Restaurants. Today is Wednesday, so that means it's Wing Day. And for $15.99, dine-in only, you can get all the wings that you can eat. And additionally, if you buy 20 wings, breaded, naked, or boneless, you can get 10 for free. And that is for to-go orders only, not for delivery. They have lunch specials every day, and happy hour Monday through Friday is 3 to 6 p.m. So treat yourself. Go sit out on the patio and have some great wings and some beverages at Hooters. They're great sponsors of mine. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Matt Durkin.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like and sign up for our weekly newsletter as well. You know, a couple of things I did forget to mention, and that is the three punches to knock down democratic socialism. You can buy your tickets at my website. We only have five tickets left, and that event is next Monday night. It will be Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice on the three punches to knock down democratic socialism. And then help us raise this money for Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas. They are raising money to put a wrap around a bus. I'm a Trumpster wrap around this bus, and they're going to be going into minority communities this election cycle. So go. How that works is go to I'm a Trumpster, imatrumpster.com. Make a contribution, and then email me over at kim@kimmunson.com as well and let me know. And we'll get a battle mask to you. Really, they're very cool, as well as we're going to have a celebration to kick off the tour. So on the line with me is Matt Durkin. He is a candidate for Jefferson County DA. Matt, welcome to the show.
Kim, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
These races are so important, and Patty, our researcher, found a piece in the Colorado Sun that said that Jefferson County's Democrat DA's race is getting ugly again. And it looks like both of those candidates labeled themselves as progressives. And we've seen that George Soros played in these DA races across the nation last election cycle. And those cities where those Soros DAs have, or those cities, communities have been elected, it's not going very well for everyday people in the safety of their communities. What's your thoughts on all this, Matt?
Yeah, not at all. Those communities are suffering from those Soros DAs. Crime in every one of those communities, from Philadelphia to Chicago to San Francisco, the crime rate in those cities is going off the hook. And the same DA candidate who George Soros supported 4 years ago, he is back. And he is obviously pushing that same agenda that he was trying to push 4 years ago.
So that is why these races are so important. And so now let's see, the primaries will be, the ballots are due at the end of the month, right? So you'll know who your opponent is probably right after the, you know, Independence Day, I would guess.
Oh, yes, I would hope probably even that night. So the primaries on June 30th. Primary ballots have gone out, and so we just encourage everyone to vote, even if they're, I don't have a primary, but please vote in the Jefferson and Gilpin County primaries and vote for Matthew Durkin for district attorney.
And why is it important, even though you do not have an opponent, why is it important that people vote?
I think it's important, particularly this year, that we establish who we are in Jefferson and Gilpin counties as Republicans, and to really reach out to unaffiliated voters and to establish the fact that we are in contention for these races this year, that unaffiliated voters are done with this agenda that has really destroyed some of our communities around the state of Colorado. We've seen what's happened in Denver, and we're seeing that rising crime in Jefferson and Gilpin counties as well.
You know, Matt, right after, well, I guess it was about a week after Memorial Day. I was driving back into town, and so I thought I would stop downtown and just take a look at what was going on. The protesters were arriving at the Capitol. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I have to tell you, there was a little knot in my tummy that in what if something happened? I mean, I was alone, and I thought, I'm not so sure that I knew the police would be there to protect me. I've never had that feeling before in my life, Matt Durkin.
Yeah, it's very, very troubling to see what's happening. And obviously what happened to Mr. Floyd is unforgivable. And I'm disturbed, Kim, because I feel like we've never been so united in my lifetime around the fact that justice needs to be brought. Justice needs to be found for Mr. Floyd. Police chiefs, police officers, sheriffs are walking with protesters, and they're all standing for that premise, for that justice for George Floyd. And I'm just disturbed that people are using that unity and they're throwing it to the side and they're using it to divide us. And I don't know why that's happening. And I think what's happening to police around the country is really sad, because I think they're under fire right now. And just a few weeks ago, they were being celebrated for protecting us through this COVID situation. And now they're just completely under fire. And I think that includes here in Colorado.
Right. I know. It's like within just a few weeks, it's gone from thank our first responders to, you know, defunding police departments. And then, of course, here in Colorado, we saw this Senate Bill 2217, which I want to talk with you about that just a little bit. But when I got up this morning, I saw a tweet from Stacey Washington. She is Black. She's a podcaster. I think she's out of the St. Louis area. And she said that over 38 police officers have been shot. I'm not sure have been killed, but since this whole thing started. And it's like, that's not okay. Do you know what that number is throughout the nation, Matt?
I didn't know that it was 38. I knew that at least 12 people had died from the riots around the country.
12 police officers or people?
Well, I thought it was people, but I thought that most of them were police officers.
Okay.
You know, at least a good portion of those were police officers. And we've seen a lot of that coverage of that. Well, we've had to struggle to find that coverage of those police officer deaths around the country. But, yeah, I mean, they're absolutely under fire, literally. And so these riots have turned into war zones for these police officers. And as they wake up the next day and gear up to go back at it again, you hear these calls for them to be defunded. And they're standing in between those rioters and chaos and people's properties, rights, and lives. So it's very troubling to hear these calls for defunding the police.
Well, and that day that I went downtown, I drove by the Brown Palace, you know, which has really been a jewel of downtown Denver. And the windows were boarded up. Well, there was boards, but the windows, I see they'd been broken out. And I'm like, what on earth is going on here? And so let's talk just a little bit about this Senate Bill 217. We've got just about 3 minutes on that. But tell us, you know, is there good things, bad things? What's your thoughts on Senate Bill 217, which I think is going to be signed into law or already has been?
Yeah, I'm sure if it hasn't been signed yesterday, it will be today or tomorrow. You know, I have a lot of concerns about this bill, quite frankly, but I think it's gotten to a much better place from where it came from. And I think it's important for us to know where it came from. The introduced version of this bill didn't just seek to defund the police. It sought to personally bankrupt every police officer in the state of Colorado. And I'm very pleased to see that there was some bipartisanship and some amendments made. But there is still some concerns with the qualified immunity. Qualified immunity is a broad term that I think has probably been interpreted much too broadly and allowed some police officers who deserve to be held accountable, it's given them a silver bullet. So it has been perhaps interpreted too broadly. But my concern is that this bill goes too far the other direction, and it's going to hold police officers personally and civilly liable for every contact. And so it's really going to open the floodgates of litigation for nearly every police contact, which is going to really be problematic for those police officers, but even more problematic for their employers, the cities and counties in Colorado.
Well, you can see trial attorneys that they're just, really probably excited about that. And that is very unfortunate. One question, and that is, my understanding is that the state police, which is answerable to Governor Polis, they were not included in eliminating this qualified immunity. That can't be true. Is that true, Matt?
You're exactly right, Kim, and that's what's very, very troubling for me as I look at this as a district attorney out in Jefferson and Gilpin counties, that this could really cause a lot of litigation that's going to cause a lot of financial problems for Jefferson County, who's already in a budget crisis. And the reason I know that that is the situation in the bill is because the state, the legislature, they exempted state law enforcement from the qualified immunity provisions of this bill because the state could not afford that litigation. And they did not want to put a fiscal note into this bill because that would have meant that it was not going to pass. So if the state can't afford the litigation that is imminent from this bill, well, then certainly the cities and the counties can't either. And so that is really very, very troubling for us down on the local level, that this is a huge unfunded mandate in a lot of different ways, both in civil litigation, but also the other provisions in terms of body-worn cameras and reporting requirements.
It is astounding. And I agree, the country was very much united in their outrage regarding what happened with George Floyd. And then it seems that I think some very nefarious characters have stepped in across the spectrum and used that to do things that ultimately the consequences down the road will be, I think, our communities will be less safe. So that is why these races are so important. Matt Durkin, how can people get more information about you and help you?
Well, I appreciate that. Please go to durkinforda.com, durkinforda.com, and you can learn more about me, our campaign, and you can also go there to contribute because, as we've indicated, we're up against monster forces here. We're up against Soros money. We're David, he is Goliath, but we know that we can win. We know how this story can end. And so please go to durkinforda.com to contribute and to know more about our campaign.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Matt Durkin. We'll talk to you in a few weeks, and you have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. How are you doing this Wednesday? It's hump day. Steve loves hump day. It's Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a camel. That's why he likes hump day so much.
You should see the look on his face. So the markets, I actually didn't look at them yesterday. So what happened?
Well, we had another fairly positive day yesterday, Kim. The NASDAQ gained back another 170 points, and it's now within a stone's throw of being back to all-time highs and over 10,000 again. The Dow, which more people seem to watch closely, was up over 500, so that gained 2%. We saw volume start to increase again yesterday, which is good to see. A couple of pretty good news items yesterday. One of the biggest ones was that retail sales for May jumped 17.7%, which was a record increase. Now, of course, that's coming off, some giant plunges, but the 17.7% was double what the estimates were from economists, so I guess they were only twice as wrong as they usually are. And I think that's a good sign. I mean, we may see some back and forth or give back a little bit, but to see how quickly, people started to get back to, I guess, what you'd call normal, at least in that way, after these lockdowns at least eased a little bit, I think is an encouraging sign.
Well, it is, and I think I heard yesterday that compared to, say, after 9/11, again, the world stopped, after 9/11. And so when people started to go back and, you know, get back to normal, retail sales jumped there. But this is astounding because this was even more than after 9/11. So I think that probably is, you know, does really speak well for the country.
Well, I certainly think it does. People were happy to try to get out of being locked up like prisoners, and they became, maybe more importantly, Kim, less afraid to spend, you know, after being hunkered down and a lot of people being unemployed while we saw some jobs come back. You know, the consumer, for the most part, is leading every economy there is, whether it's good or bad, and seeing that kind of a jump. You know, we probably don't get 18% again next month, but to see that, I thought it was positive. Doesn't matter what I think, the market seemed to like it, is what's more important in our world.
Okay, so just very quickly, you know, the market has been quite volatile, and you've mentioned that it may be time to sit down and maybe take some profits since we have gone back up. And so I think it would be great for people to do just a little checkup with you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management. You said that there was a do-over this last time around, and then, you know, the market had the big plunge the one day, but now we're back up. So, you know, I think it's maybe another opportunity to sit down and talk with you guys about that.
Well, it sure could be, Kim, and it's always better to make decisions when you're not feeling like you're under fire or you're in a panic situation or, you know, when things are so crazy. I mean, you can sit down, think about what you're trying to accomplish, and hopefully make a decision with a clear mind rather than making decisions based on, you know, emotion, which a couple of months ago would have very likely been fear, which is, you know, tough to make a good decision when you're under fire.
That's most definitely true. So I would highly recommend that people reach out to you, Jason McBride, and your colleagues over at Presidential Wealth Management. Phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And then, of course, our landing page, airpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com. Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great, Kim. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Robert Bryce is on the line, and he has a new movie out. It's called Juice, How Electricity Explains the World. And I have to tell you, I think I like electricity a lot. So let's go to break. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. We have 5 tickets left for our event next Monday night, 3 punches to knock down democratic socialism. So you can buy your tickets there. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. I am thrilled to have on the line with me Robert Bryce. He's an acclaimed author of 6 books, including most recently A Question of Power, Electricity, and the Wealth of Nations. His articles have appeared in dozens of publications, including The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, The Austin Chronicle, The Guardian, and Forbes. He's given over 300 invited or keynote lectures to groups ranging from the Marine Corps War College to the Sydney Institute, and has appeared on many media outlets ranging from Fox News to Al Jazeera. Bryce is also the producer of this new feature-length documentary, Juice, How Electricity Explains the World, which is now available on iTunes, Amazon Prime, and other streaming services. He lives in Austin, Texas, with his wife, Lauren, who is an art teacher, photographer, and master potter. Robert Bryce, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me on.
Well, and this show is part of our health and hydrocarbons shows that we do. And we've realized that hydrocarbons contribute to electricity. Electricity makes people's lives better. But this documentary, I finished watching it last night, Juice, How Electricity Explains the World. What is the thing that you're really trying to relay to people through this movie?
The short answer, Kim, is that electricity is essential to modernity. This is the world's most important form of energy. It's also the world's most fastest growing form of energy. So if you care about modernity, and more particularly, you care about women and girls, then yeah, we have to be laser focused on electricity, because this is what separates the rich from the poor, the prosperous from the everyone else, the plugged in from the unplugged. This is the great disparity in the world today, is the difference between the electricity rich and the electricity poor.
So now electricity generation, my understanding that fossil fuels contributes to that. Obviously, there's hydro, water, I guess. What is it? Is it hydropower that is from like dams and rivers? Is that what it is?
That's right. Okay. That's right. Hydropower, yeah.
Okay. And then, of course, we also have wind and solar. So break down how that mix is in generating electricity.
Well, still, the vast majority of global electricity is produced from hydrocarbons, from coal, oil, and natural gas. Renewables, all of them together, provide, you're testing me here in terms of exact percentage, hydropower and non-hydro renewables are about equal. I think they produce together around 15% of all global electricity. Nuclear is another 10%, and the rest comes from coal, oil, and natural gas. You know, it's interesting we don't really talk about this in the film. I discuss it in my book, but still today, about 40%, 38% or so, the world's electricity is produced from coal. And you know, we're sprinting away from coal here in the U.S. because we have so much natural gas. But when it comes to electrification around the world, countries all over the world, including Germany, including Japan, are building coal-fired power plants. So the idea that we're suddenly going to run the world solely on renewables, it's not going to happen.
Well, and you mentioned something that I think is really important, that if we care about women and girls, then we care about electricity. Explain that, Robert Bryce.
Sure. So, and I'll use an example from here in the United States, and one that the stories of what happened in electrification in the United States is instructive. We have many parts of the New Deal that are, legacy today. But I think the most obvious one is the system of electric cooperatives around the country. We have about 900 of them. Well, those were the direct result of legislation passed in 1935 and 1936, the Utility Holding Company Act of 1935, the Rural Electrification Act of 1936. The legislators who pushed that agenda were from rural states, and they were concerned about women. George Norris from Nebraska, Lyndon Johnson from Texas, Sam Rayburn from Texas. Johnson wasn't part of passing that legislation, but one of their chief motivations was out of concern for farm women and taking the load of hauling water, washing clothes by hand. Those were concerns at that time, and they're concerns today. And that, as I say in the film, electricity liberates women and girls from the pump, the stove, and the washtub.
You know, I know a story of that personally. I grew up in Western Kansas, and my aunt, and she was married to my uncle, and he was a World War II veteran, and she had a bad hip, and she had to go downstairs once a week to wash clothes, and it was very painful for her to go up and downstairs, and she would basically be in the basement all day washing clothes, because at that time they still did a whole bunch of that stuff by hand. So it is true. I mean, it's hard for us to believe that with all of our modern conveniences, but just think about it, a whole day just washing clothes, Robert Price.
Well, and that's it. And in fact, they did studies after rural electrification and compared the amount of time it took women to do a load of clothes by a certain number of pounds of laundry by hand versus using a washing machine. And then today, the other part of that, Kim, is using a dryer, you know, which women used to have to hang their clothes out on the line. There wasn't any such thing as a dryer. I mean, these are modern conveniences that depend on electricity that are things that allow women to do other things. And there are numerous studies that have found that electrification truly, more than perhaps any other, well, in addition to other things, but when you look at the places where women and girls are effectively slaves, where they suffer from illiteracy, child marriage, and other issues, they're in places where electricity is either scarce or non-existent. So this is clearly the key commodity if we're concerned about liberating women and girls and allowing them to get educated, to get employment. Electricity is absolutely essential.
And that is true. In third world countries, women, in essence, they have to spend their days hauling water, as you mentioned, you know, washing clothes by hand, finding fuel sources like wood to burn, dung to burn, so that they can cook with that, keep their, keep them warm. And so I hadn't really started to think about this until we started to talk about health and hydrocarbons, that if we really care about women in third world countries, that this is something that we need to really continue to work towards. So let's go to break, Robert Price, and continue the conversation regarding Juice, your movie, How Electricity Explains the World. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Robert Price. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there, as well as you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And we have 5 tickets left for our event next Monday night at Water's Edge Winery with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice, the 3 punches to knock down democratic socialism. And so join us. I think it's going to be a very important evening. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me Robert Price, his new movie, Juice, How Electricity Explains the World. And electricity is so important for the health and well-being of women and girls in third world countries. And of course, that means men and boys as well. And when you lift up people, everybody's lifted up on that, but particularly women and girls, because they're the ones that typically have to go out and haul water and find fuel such as wood and dung. And so it's I hadn't really thought about it, how great that is, Robert Price, but it really is great for women and girls. Now let's talk about a couple of things right here in Colorado. You'd mentioned that electricity, the majority of the power still comes from coal-fired plants, and then, of course, hydrocarbons contribute to another big portion of electric generation. But I wanted to just throw this out here. Our researcher found this in the Complete Colorado, that there is a proposed measure here to try to get it on the ballot in Colorado to be a preemptive strike against this trend going on around the country, which is banning or restricting the use of natural gas for appliances. Now, producer Steve actually likes to cook dinner, and he likes to use his natural gas appliance. And I find that kind of interesting. So what's your thoughts on that, Robert Bryce?
Well, I wasn't familiar with the move in Colorado. You know, what was the name of the outfit that's trying to get this on the ballot?
Well, it's a group. I'm not quite sure, but it says it's a preemptive strike. There's this movement going on around the country that is they're using like legislation or rules and regulations that you can no longer, like in new construction. I think it was in California, although I think that they maybe put a hold on that, but that you could not have natural gas appliances. And I found that just kind of curious.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting to me, I mean, kind of stepping back, I don't know about the efforts in Colorado, but what's remarkable about the gas story to me, and it's a point that I make in my book, A Question of Power, Electricity and the Wealth of Nations, which came out in March, but is that the world is trending toward gas, and that I've talked about this now for 10 years. If we're serious about reducing CO2 emissions globally, we have to be focused on natural gas and nuclear. I call it end to end. And Colorado is a great example of how this growth in gas production and gas consumption has been good for the economy. But, you know, I think, you know, bringing it back to the electricity story, what's interesting to me is that globally, but particularly here in the U.S., more and more electricity is being produced with natural gas. And that has allowed the U.S. to reduce its CO2 emissions more than any other country in the world in absolute terms over the last decade or so. So the gas story in the U.S. is one that I think we should be celebrated.
Oh, we've seen a lot here in Colorado that is trying to shut down some of the oil and natural gas production here, which is pretty fascinating. Of course, you know, there's been this huge disruption in that market because of the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. But let's move over. So you went throughout the world for this documentary that you did, Juice, How Electricity Explains the World. And you even came to Colorado. So tell us about that.
Sure. Well, so one of the things, we went to India, Iceland, Puerto Rico, New York, Colorado, Lebanon to look at the world through the lens of electricity. So in India, of course, we saw dire electricity poverty and talked to women about what electricity, the difference it made there. We went to Lebanon where blackouts are common every day. We went to Puerto Rico after the hurricane to see how people there were still without electricity, in some cases 7 months after the hurricane. We came to Denver because we wanted to do a story about weed and electricity. And in fact, between 2013 and 2016, the amount of electricity consumed just to grow cannabis in Denver nearly tripled. And so, you know, to me, it was just amazing to think about how in wealthy countries like the United States and prosperous states like Colorado, electricity is so abundant, we're using it to grow cannabis, where you have 3 billion people, roughly, around the world, and this is a point we make in the film, that don't have access to electricity at all, or rather are living in electricity poverty, using less electricity than my kitchen refrigerator. And yet in Colorado, in Denver alone, weed grow operations are using as much electricity as the entire country of Burundi. I mean, these numbers are just enormous.
That is it's truly astounding. And so what can we do about this? I mean, I think we care about other human beings. And if we are serious about that, then how can we bring electricity to these other countries? What are you seeing happening with that, Robert Bryce?
Well, Kim, that's a hard question to answer, and it's a rather lengthy one. I'll just make one other quick point. Since you're in Denver, and I know Boulder and Denver, Boulder even has rules now, city ordinances, that require the cannabis operations in Boulder to prove that they're growing polar bear-friendly ganja. They have to prove that they're using renewable electricity, or they have to buy renewable credits. So, you know, it's kind of a tacit realization that the carbon emissions related to cannabis production are significant. But that's an aside. So to your question, what about the rest of the world? Why are 3 billion people living effectively in the dark? Why are 3 billion people around the world using less electricity than an average kitchen refrigerator in the U.S.? Well, some of that is endemic poverty. I mean, that there's just a huge and confounding levels of poverty. But the other part of that is integrity. Systems of governance, systems in electric grids require that there be certain level of integrity. That is, that there's not too much theft, because theft is the enemy of life. And that's one of the key challenges. We can't just export electricity and say, oh, here, India, have a bunch of electricity. No, those grids have to sustain themselves. And that's a really difficult challenge that involves a lot of different factors. So there's no easy answer to that question.
Okay. And in the movie, it seems like I recall that you mentioned theft and how people were accessing electricity by kind of getting onto the system. I had never seen anything like that. Explain that.
Sure. Well, this is one of the things that is so confounding, is that in countries with weak governance, in countries that lack integrity, and I use that term kind of broadly, right? Do people believe the system is legit? Well, if they don't, or if they, the cops are not on the beat, they'll steal the electricity. So one of the things that we found in India was that in some parts of the country, as much as 40 or 50% of the electricity is simply stolen. And you saw this in Iraq after Saddam Hussein was captured and hanged. Electricity theft went through the roof. So systems of grids require integrity. They can't, the people running the grid can't steal too much, and the people using the grid can't steal too much. And if they do, the system just doesn't work.
Well, and you mentioned the grid. What about the grid here in America? I know a number of people that are very concerned about the electric grid here in the United States. So what's your thoughts on that, Robert Bryce?
Well, I think that it's, you think about it in a lot of different ways. We don't have one grid. We have multiple grids in the United States. We have different regional grid operators. And I live in Texas. We are minimally connected to the rest of the grid in the ERCOT here in Texas. But I think one of the key points is to understand, well, we're vulnerable too, right? That our entire society relies on the electric grid. Well, what happens if there's a mass blackout? What about an electromagnetic pulse, which is, people have talked about this possibility of attack with some kind of a nuclear weapon that would fry the grid, that would disable the grid, and potentially for weeks or even months, that would be catastrophic. So what gives us power, and by that I mean power in the broadest sense of the term, where we get electric power, we turn into power. We get motive power, cooking power, lighting power, heating power, all these other things that we rely on. Well, we have to be serious about protecting the grid and making sure it's that we have proper redundancy and resiliency. These are things that are critical.
Is that happening? Because I've heard that there's not been a political will to assure that. What are you seeing, Robert Bryce?
I think that there is more focus on that, Kim. I think that there is, especially after the attack on the substation in California a few years ago, that there's a greater understanding of the potential problems if the grid is not secure and reliable. So I think utilities and the government, the federal government, are putting more focus on that because they realize that this is a real potential risk.
Well, and Robert Bryce, we have just a few minutes left, but I think Americans have taken electricity for granted. When you talk about these modern conveniences, the fact that before I come into the station, I can throw a load of clothes in the wash, I can go home and throw them in the dryer, and that frees me up to do all kinds of other things in my life. And I think that we as Americans have taken that for granted. So that's why I think that your movie, Juice, How Electricity Explains the World, is really an important documentary. It's just really important, Robert.
Well, thank you. I'm really proud of it. We worked on it for 4 years, and it's out now. It's on Vimeo, YouTube, Vudu. You can see it on iTunes, on Amazon. I'm really proud of it. The reception that the film has received has been really heartening. But the fundamental message is we tell the human story of electricity and why power equals power. So I encourage all your listeners to check it out. We're proud of it. If you like it, then write a review on iTunes or Amazon or any of these other spots, and that would be a great help.
Okay. And the photography is just beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. So, Robert Bryce, your final thought. We've got just a couple of minutes left. What is the final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
I think the final thought is that don't take this form of energy for granted. Electricity is the world's most important and fastest growing form of energy. So if we're going to be serious about issues like climate change, women's rights, inequality, we have to be laser focused on electricity and understand that this is critical to modernity. And so don't take it for granted. And then we have to try and address this problem of bringing more light to the people who are living in the dark.
Totally, for sure. So be sure and check it out. Juice, How Electricity Explains the World. Robert Bryce would appreciate you writing a review on that as well. So Robert Bryce, thank you so much for joining us today. And again, you can get that on all the different streaming services. It's Juice, How Electricity Explains the World. Robert, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim.
And it is true. This electricity that powers our lives and allows us to do all kinds of other things as well. And so be sure and check that out. Juice, How Electricity Explains the World by Robert Bryce. It is just a beautiful movie. So take a look at that. Our quote for today is Thomas Edison. And he says, being busy does not always mean real work. The object of all work is production or accomplishment, and to either of these ends, there must be forethought, system, planning, intelligence, and honest purpose, as well as perspiration. Seeming to do is not doing, and that is Thomas Edison. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
On a rough road, riding high, through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning, further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.